My wife counted up yesterday the number of times that I've had the opportunity to see elders take their position in a congregation. And Jack will be the 17th. Two of the congregations that I preached for did not have elders. One did not have elders because they'd never thought about it until their children grew up and went off to college and attended congregations in the city of Fresno, and they had elders. And they came back home and they said to their parents and to the preacher, "Why don't we have this church organization?" And so we started from the very beginning in classes and on into the preaching. And that congregation was established with four great elders. Other congregations have ceased to have elders as one would pass away and there would only be one left. I didn't want that to happen in this congregation. I wanted the eldership to continue. That's why I'm stepping aside while I can and while I can be a part of Jack taking my place. And I know that you'll pray for him and his family. I know that you'll pray for our elders, our deacons, our minister. I know that because I feel that you have in the past. That's part of the reason that I am so sure that we are a unified congregation. I was afraid just a moment ago that Johnny was going to preach my sermon from Ephesians. But thankfully, he stayed in the first chapter, and so I'm safe. We're going to go into Ephesians chapter 3 and 4, and if it's on the screen behind me, you will see the title. I think it's a very significant title, and we're going to look at four steps that will lead to what we've accomplished this morning. Our actions today are in recognition of God's eternal purpose. Those words that we find in Ephesians chapter 3 and on down in a future reading are so significant to the churches of Christ. We are not an 1800 group of people coming out of what was known as the Restoration Movement. That was simply a restoring of what had already been. But we are a people that have existed and understood who we are in light of Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 4. A congregation, its elders, its deacons, its preacher, and every single one of you who make yourself a member of this body, all of us together are God's family, Christ's ultimate eternal purpose, grounded and carrying on very well. And so this morning I want to touch on four things that will ultimately lead us to the eldership. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and in just a minute we will read verses 3 and 4. But you see it up on the screen, I hope. You know, I am so old that I remember an overhead projector. First time I saw one was when I was preaching in Dos Palos, California. And I thought, that is an amazing thing. Well, we have come a long ways since then. I'm not going to turn around. I'm just going to guess that it's there. In the book of Ephesians, you will see on the screen a breakdown of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And in that reading, you will see some very special words. For example, verse 3 and 4, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the plan of God. There are two things that seem to me to jump out. The revelation is from God. When we open our Bibles, we are very much aware this is not man's book. This is God's book, and it has an effect on us, a will to obey him, a will to be close to him, a will to honor him in our worship, in our organization, in our plan of salvation, in every way we possibly can, because this, after all, is a revelation from God. Men have tried to make this a work of man or a work of old people way in the past. It doesn't work. There are too many things in it that have been discovered of late to show that it is beyond man's ability to read and to make up. I'll give you one example. And I believe it's in about Isaiah 20. I am not going to turn to it because I can't remember exactly where it was. Read the book of Isaiah. And you'll come across this. God said, God has the prophet Isaiah write down, I did not create the earth a waste place, but I created it to be inhabited. We're in the spring time when everything is coming to growth. Other men have sent a spaceship to take a look at Mars, and they're hoping that they will find water so that they can believe that man once inhabited that barren waste place. Way back in the time of Isaiah, God made clear this is a habitable place. And it is. It's a wonderful, beautiful place that he has given us. Man couldn't know that, but God did. And through the prophet Isaiah, left us that little hint that when we read about his revelation, and when we read about understanding it, we have God's word. He didn't make this so that we couldn't understand it, but so that we could understand it. There's a passage that I do want to turn to over in 1 Thessalonians. And the reason I want to turn to it is because Paul captures something very special about you and me and the eldership and deacons and how we've come to be. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, pardon me, mark it off to age. Here's verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which really works in you to perform its work in you who believe. As soon as an individual determines that this book is special. And a few weeks ago, when Kevin introduced Jack's name before the congregation, he read from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, the qualifications. These are not man's qualifications. These are not homemade. These are God's qualifications. And it is God that recognizes our weaknesses and our ability and our inability to be perfect. He knows that. But they're there for us to strive for. And we have now three men, Jack, Jerry, Walt, who are striving to the best of their ability to meet those qualifications. And we're praying for them and beseeching God to be a help to them. Secondly, the second point that we have on the screen is the scripture is treated as showing the manifold wisdom of God for and through the church. There are two words. They're in the title of this, and they're also in this scripture reading. I'm not sure that we really comprehend the enormity of Paul writing God's eternal purpose is what we're trying to be. And that's why we look to Scripture and we follow it at the best of our ability in every way possible, because we understand what was good in the year one when the church first began, or 33 AD, when the church began, is just as good in our day and our age. And if this world stands, it'll still be true. And so read with me from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Well, I'm going to read through verse 12. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now watch carefully. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. And I hope we have that boldness and confidence in what we believe and what we practice. Scripture has brought us to the point of seeing Jack take the place, or the responsible place, of an elder and a shepherd of this congregation. Our choice of Jack is not passed down to us from men, or a board of directors, or someone who is president of our association. But we have measured him from God's eternal word. And therefore, he is in a very special place. Our identity as a congregation rests solely on Scripture. That's important because in this day and age of so much confusion, we need to know who we are. We need to know why we are. Why do we hold the Church of Christ so special to us? Why do we seek men to take responsibility in leading us? Because we understand the significance of God's eternal purpose and his wisdom in seeing the church as it is. And that brings us to number three. We're getting very close to the passage that will have elders in it. Scripture calls for 8 points to be diligently honored. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. I want you to pay close attention to the fact that there are only 7 that are listed as one. But I've added another one because without it, the 7 will never make it. Let me read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And you watch and see what word is not in the list of ones, but is so vital. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you see the word in verse 3? A moment ago when we stood together, as Jack affirmed and Kevin prayed for our eldership, do you see the unity? We may have to be scattered throughout the building, but the unity is there. And we think about the health of our congregation. And I would be very surprised if you haven't been praying that we would come through this epidemic and we'd be stronger than at the past. I'd be surprised if the congregation here doesn't have a special place in your heart and in your mind. There are two that I want to call attention to. First of all, the significance of unity. The significance of unity is based on number one and number two on the screen. The things that are called one are there because we have come to understand number one and number two. And now number three is so very important that I want to single out one of the ones, the faith. I noted a couple of the passages that have been read this morning already have one faith. But as we talk so much about our personal faith, we need to understand the one faith that is mentioned here. Let me suggest two passages. Acts 6 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas have been preaching the gospel. No, this is long before them, pardon me. This is long before them. That the word of God kept increasing, and a great number of the priests, these would be Old Testament priests, were becoming obedient to the faith. What does that tell us? That the faith in Ephesians chapter 4 has to be obeyed. That's why we have the kind of organization we have. That's why we offer the invitation that we do. That's why we worship as we do, the one faith. And the other passage you know about, because you've heard it so often, Jude 3, that we're to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gets after the Galatians because they brought in another gospel. He says, which is not another gospel, only there are those who would pervert the gospel of Christ. We do not pervert the gospel of Christ. We uphold the gospel of Christ. And finally, we come to number four. Christ himself set forth the offices for the good of the church then and now. Read with me Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 through 13. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and that's a word also for elders or shepherds, and for teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's where we're at. And because of what you see on the screen, because of number one and number two and number three, we've come to number four. The only office that is not mentioned there that should be is the office of deacon. And I know it came from God because of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And there is a passage there that I want to refer to because I believe Jack meets these qualities. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Those who have served well as deacons. We're blessed now with three deacons, and hopefully the time will come when we will be able to see that number increase. But for now, we have three very good deacons and their wives holding them up, supporting them, encouraging them, just as elders' wives do and just as preachers' wives do. I'm thankful that as I step back, Jack steps forward. And that brings a joy, I think, to the congregation because Things are going right along, as they should be. At the same time, when we see an individual, no matter their age, step forward, desiring to obey the gospel of Christ, it brings a great joy to us. Kevin's going to lead us in an invitation song. If there's some way that we can be helpful to you, we have elders who are more than willing. We have a preacher who is more than willing. Are you willing? Shall we stand and shall we sing?